Well, as I said earlier this morning, we are going to be looking at finding an attitude of gratitude. I think if there is one sin that is prevalent today, it is the sin of ingratitude. You know, God does so much for us, and our indebtedness to Him is enormous, and it is very rare, or at least infrequent, that we offer our thanksgiving to Him. And I remember growing up and having to learn, you know, the please and thank yous, and we certainly try to teach Nicholas the please and thank yous, but, you know, there are times when we have to remind him, what did you say? You know, what do you say? And I was thinking of this the other day because I was reading this article about when we were in Indiana. One of the restaurants we loved to go to was called Cracker Barrel. Anyone know Cracker Barrel, right? If you haven't been to a Cracker Barrel, you're missing something. But what we found out was that the waiters at Cracker Barrel, which was mostly college students because it was a college town, and they were only getting paid about $2.50, $3 an hour to work there because they were making most of their money on tips. And so the owner thought, well, they're making all this money on tips, so I don't have to pay them that much by the hour. And they got into a real big problem with that because they weren't even paying minimum wage. But I found out something interesting. There is an app that you can get for your phone, or some phones already have them, but they will let you know, you type in what your bill is, and it will tell you what your tip is, what you need to give for a tip. And there's even a restaurant that I've been to that adds the tip to your bill. So they even take it out of the equation. But I found that sometimes I really struggle with giving a tip because I just don't have that kind of money to just give them all that tip money that probably they deserve. But it goes on with a lot of different things that we do. I mean, how many of us woke up this morning saying, first thing that came out of your mouth was, I'm thankful for today? Yeah. How many of us will wake up tomorrow morning and say, I'm thankful it's a Monday? Good. All right. We got one. We live in a society when we just don't seem to show our thankfulness for what we have. I heard the story of two men who were walking through a field one day, and they spotted an enraged bull that was coming at them, and they instantly darted toward the nearest fence, and they realized that the storming bull was in hot pursuit and would soon hit them, and soon attack them, and they were crying out and yelling and screaming, trying to get to the fence, and one of the men shouted to his friend, John, you need to put up a prayer. We're in for it. And John answered, well, I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life. And he said, well, you have to, because the bull is almost at us. It's catching up. And so John went, okay, well, I'll pray the only prayer I know, which is the prayer that my father used to pray at the dinner table. So he said, oh, Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful. And there was a young boy who was given an orange by a man. His mother asked him, well, did you tell the man thank you? And he said, well, no. He thought about it for a moment. He said, no, I just handed it to him and asked him to peel it. You see, we live in a society where showing thankfulness seems to be non-existent. But for a child of God, thankfulness is and should not be confined to a day or a season. It shouldn't be just thought of in the month of November, but I am doing a sermon series in the month of November about being thankful. It should be an attitude that we live out throughout the year, not just in these coming weeks. And to magnify this point, I want to examine an account of what happened to Jesus as he was walking between Samaria and Galilee, and up on a hill outside of the city was a group of 10 lepers. We know the story? It's familiar to us, isn't it? If you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to open them to Luke chapter 17, and we're going to begin with the 11th verse. Now, this is a story that I think speaks to us today, because I think we can all, there've probably been times in our lives when we've all been kind of like these lepers. We're kind of like outsiders. We've been cast aside. We've been pushed aside. And we feel like we're all alone. We feel like nothing we do works, that nothing we do makes a difference. And we wonder if this will ever change. Will we ever get out of this predicament? Is there healing? Physical, emotional, spiritual. So we begin in the 11th verse. Everybody with me? It says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourself to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go, for your faith has made you well.'" Can you picture yourself in that story? Can you picture yourself in that story? As being someone who is an outsider calling out to God, calling out to Christ, "Have mercy on me." How many of us have said those exact words? "Have mercy on me." First of all, we see the position of all these men. We see here the position of those who were lepers. That's the first thing you see in this story. These were men who were cast out of their city. But even in that, they were in an approachable position for Jesus. The 10 men were living shut out lives. But the thing that I get out of this that I can relate to is the fact that, yes, they were living shut-out lives from a society standpoint. But I'm grateful this morning that where the law says man cannot go, Jesus goes. Where the law declares off-limits, Jesus barges in. When the law passes on the other side of the road, Jesus makes a point to make contact. We all know that Jesus came to save what? Sinners, right? He said, "I didn't come here to take care of the healthy. I came here to take care of the sick." Jesus went out of his way on purpose because even in this awful position, the position that sin puts us in, the position that these men were in, Jesus is still able to reach us and save us. Your family can't help you. Your friends can't help you. Your church can't help you, even as much as we hope we can. Only Jesus can help us. And while we stand far off from him, he does not stand far off from us. When we could not get to Jesus, Jesus comes to us. And in this case, Jesus went to them. When we could not make an approach to Jesus, he approaches us. And I think all of us are in that same position. Because oftentimes we find that we're so far away from God because of our sin or because of the situation that's happening in our lives. And we still cry out to God. We still want to ask God for healing. But we don't feel like we can get too close. Which leads us to the second point of this, and that is the prayer of all. Now, all 10 uttered the same prayer. But we need to notice a couple things here. First of all, notice that they observed, they understood what their situation was. They saw their sense of need. They had leprosy. And in this day and in this time, in Jesus' day, it was the worst thing that you could have, was leprosy. Now, it is true that we don't pray and call out for help unless we need it. The reason sinners don't come to Christ for salvation is because they don't feel they need it. They don't feel that it's something for them. They're doing fine. They don't sense a need. But the loneliness and the pain of this disease was very evident to these 10 lepers. They knew they needed help, and they knew that they had to find some way to be healed. And maybe, just maybe, it was this man, this prophet named Jesus. They heard that he had healed the sick. And so kind of in desperation on their part as they saw him, they see him coming, they cry out to him. And there's no doubt that they needed his help. So they cried out for mercy. And how many of us see our needs? How many of us sense our needs? How many of us sense those things in our lives that we need healed? There's not one person here today that doesn't need healing in one way or another. Because none of us are perfect people, even though we tell people we are as perfect as we're going to be. But let me tell you something. We're not perfect people. We all need healing. We all need the touch of the servant, of the love of God. And these 10 were in an awful position. Luke says they stood afar off. Now, if you don't understand the disease of leprosy, it was a painful disease. It was a very physically painful disease. But the most terrible part about it was of the disorder was the fact that they were cast out. They were kicked out of their city. They were kicked out of their homes, they were kicked out of their businesses, they were even kicked out of the temple. They were cast off, shut out. They were shut out from their families. They could no longer hug their children or kiss their wives or kiss their children and hug their wives or whatever. They could no longer hang out with their friends. They were shut out from fellowship with the church. The religious crowd at the time had no room for these men. But the most awful thing of all of this is that they were shut out from the Father. Here is Jesus, the only way to the Father. And he stood afar from them. Sinners are not near God, they are far off. They cannot and they will not draw near to God on their own. They just won't do it. One of the challenges of the church today is to bring people into the church, but you're not going to be able to invite them in because they won't come. And you can't drag them into church because that's ineffective. But what you can do is you can communicate Christ's love to them. And it's not going to be a quick fix. It's not something that's going to change them automatically. It's going to take some time. But do you know what kept these men at a distance from Jesus? It was the law. The law shut them out. The law set forth the conduct of lepers. The law said that when you pass one, you have to, if you see one, you have to go to the other side of the road and shout unclean. Sin puts us in an awful position. And we are just like those lepers. Cast off, cast aside because of our sin. But then we see the second part of that, which is their obedience. Because prayer without obedience is useless. Jesus tells them to go to the priest. Now, the priest doesn't have the power to heal them, but does have the ability to declare them clean. And what they would do is they would go before the priest, and the priest would fill out the certificate that would tell everybody that they have been healed. Do you know how many times someone was healed of leprosy? So that doesn't happen very often, does it? That someone comes to the priest and say, can you fill out the certificate and announce me clean? But they did. They did what Jesus told them to do. They weren't healed immediately. Somewhere between where they were outside the city and the city gate, something happened and they became clean. But they obeyed the command of the Lord. And not only did they pray for healing, physical healing, but they experienced Christ in that moment. Which leads us to the third thing, the final thing, which is the praise of one. Now, here is the key to this whole issue, because I think this is a lot like us. And isn't it interesting that a Bible that was written some 2,000 years ago or so, longer than that, is still relevant today? Do you find that interesting? That's no accident. Now, all of these 10 were in the same awful position. They all had leprosy. They all prayed for healing, and they all obeyed Jesus. But is that the end of the story? No. You see, one returned to offer thanksgiving. Now, I want you to notice this, because this is exactly how we are sometimes. This one individual saw an opportunity of praise. One of them saw that he was healed and turned back. He saw a reason to praise. He saw a difference that Jesus had made in his life. He recognized this change that was wrought by Christ. And he saw an opportunity to praise God. Now, many of us see our needs to pray. Many of us see our need to pray. We understand that we need to pray for something, but how many of us see our need to praise God? How many of us take time to show thanksgiving for what God has done in our lives? Now, I don't know how it happened. We're not really told here. Maybe as they were walking toward the priest's house, or maybe while he was walking, or probably in this case, most of them were probably running to the priest's house, he began to notice his skin loosening, that scaling white appearance, and began to notice that his skin was clean. And maybe he passed some people as he was running, and they weren't running to the other side of the street. They weren't trying to get away from him. I don't know how he came to the conclusion, but when he saw that he was healed, he stopped what he was doing. He stopped going in the direction he was going, and he ran back to Jesus. We're assuming, of course, that he never quite made it to the priest. That as soon as he noticed that he had no longer had leprosy, that he stopped and he ran back to Jesus because he understood that he had a reason to praise, an opportunity to praise God. And he went back to the object of praise. Now, Jesus asked the question, where are the other nine? Now, I have no doubt the other nine were declared clean by the priest. They made their way then back to what we would probably do, right? We would probably run back to our families, right? We'd go back to our friends, to our parents. We would go back to our lives that we had longed for, to hug and kiss our wife and children, to hang out with our mom and dad, to talk to our friends. Their minds were occupied on all the blessings brought to their lives on that moment. But one, who I'm sure loved his wife, I'm sure he loved his children as much as the others. He wanted to hug and kiss his wife just as much as the others. He wanted to spend time with his friends just as much as the others. He wanted to enjoy the blessings just as much as the others. But this one had his priorities in order. He didn't get wrapped up in the blessings and forget the one who gave him the blessing. One put family, friends, and fellowship on hold so he could worship the one that made his blessings with his family and friends possible. Notice that he shouted with a loud voice, he glorified God. Because with that same loud voice that he prayed to God, asking God for mercy, he is also yelling out in intensity in a loud voice, saying, thank you for what you've done. And many times we cry out for help with loud voices, but sometimes our thankfulness seems to be in low whispers. But with the same zeal we sought help, with the same zeal that we seek help, we need to praise God and thank Him as well. He fell down at the feet of Jesus, giving Him thanks. The story says that He was a Samaritan. So by the society at that time, He was not a Jew, so He wasn't worthy of being healed. He wasn't worthy of receiving God's help. And yet, He stood out. And He went back to give thanks to Jesus. By grace he was healed, and he comes to worship the one who unconditionally healed him, and he got more than the others did. Yes, they received a physical healing from a distance, but this one only received a physical healing, but he also got close enough to Jesus that he received a spiritual healing as well. Now, God may choose to physically heal a man from a distance, but spiritual healing only comes when you fall at the feet of Christ and worship Him and give Him thanks. His faith did not save him, but it connected him to the one who could save him. Now, can you imagine for us as a church if we were all like that one person and that we all had an attitude of gratitude that whatever went on in our lives, whatever we're struggling with God or with our personal life, we have the boldness to say thank you, to be thankful for what we have. We have a lot to be thankful for as a church. This year has been a year of interesting experiences. I mean, the plumbing, for one thing, right? And God has blessed us in many ways for that. We've had other things happen in our church. We've had people in our church have passed away, and we still feel their loss. But we can be thankful for the life that they lived and what they taught us while they were alive. And to be thankful for the legacy that we now get to live out. I hope you don't leave here today And I hope you don't just go home and go about your business without taking a moment to show thankfulness for your health, for your life, for your family, for your church, for your friends. I think it's very important that we do that. I want to conclude with this. There was a father and mother that were attending a church, and their son had died in battle. He was in the army. And they went to the pastor of their church and said, you know, and to honor our son who passed away, we want to give a monetary donation to the church, a gift to the church. The pastor thought it was a wonderful gesture on their part, and he asked them if he could announce it to the congregation the following Sunday, and they said yes. And so the pastor stood and announced that this couple were giving a monetary gift to the church in honor of their son. On the way home from church, another couple were driving down the highway, and the husband said to his wife, "Why don't we give a gift because of our son?" And his wife said, "But our son didn't die in battle. Our son is still alive." The husband replied, "That's exactly my point. It's all the more reason why we ought to give thanks to God. How many times I have been in this sanctuary at night and praying, and oftentimes what comes out of my mouth is, Lord, thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for this church, for these wonderful people. Thank you for this community. Thank you for my son, for my wife. Thank you for the obstacles that you put in my life, because it's made me the person I am today. A little beaten up, a little rough around the edges, but I'm here." And I can say thankfulness for each one of you because of what you have taught me in a short period of time. And I hope that I have taught you something as well. We all can be thankful for that, right? So let's leave here today with an attitude of gratitude for what God is doing in our lives, what He's going to do in our lives, and let's never, ever have an attitude where we're not going to say thank you. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to be here and for my family to be here. I want to thank you for the opportunity that we have to be a part of this wonderful community of faith. And I want to thank you for these people who have meant so much to us in such a short period of time. And I just want to thank you for going to the cross for us and dying so that we can live a life that is a blessing, not just for us, but more importantly, a blessing for others. And I hope and I pray today that we all can have an attitude of gratitude, that we all can learn to be thankful, to be the ones that run back to Jesus, even when the other nine don't, and just fall at His feet and show our gratitude. I pray this in your name. Amen. We're going to take our